Dozens of countries around the world are holding activities today to raise awareness about rare diseases. There are more than 7,000 rare diseases, in many cases difficult to diagnose, even harder to treat. Here on Quebec AM, we've been hearing the stories of people in Quebec who are affected by one rare disease known as Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. In part one of that report yesterday, we heard about the sisters, Catherine and Michelle Sones, and their father, Robert, all of whom suffer from EDS. Today, we'll hear about what happens once a diagnosis is made, and we'll hear about another form of this disease called vascular EDS, which can be fatal.
My surgeon told me once, it's kind of their black sheep. It's the kind of patient they don't want to see in their surgery room. I mean, they don't want to operate on them because it's a box of surprises. The first vascular surgeon I had, I'd seen two patients, and both had died before getting to the hospital or on the operating table.
That's Quebec City resident France-Valérie Roy. Like the Sones family, whose story we heard yesterday, she has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. The difference is the form she suffers from can be deadly. Our township's reporter Allison Brunette brought us the first part of her report on this rare disease yesterday, and she's in our Sherbrooke studio this morning for part two. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan.
Can you just remind us, Allison, what it's like for these people living with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome?
Yesterday, I brought you the story of the Sones family. Michelle, Catherine, and Robert have the most common type of the disease known as hypermobility EDS. It's a problem with the connective tissue in the body, which essentially is floppy instead of tight to hold everything in place. They described dislocating their joints multiple times for no apparent reason. They also talked about suffering from symptoms including chronic pain and fatigue. But there are several different forms of the disease, one which you mentioned is fatal. That type is called vascular EDS, and it affects the connective tissue of the blood vessels. So in the same way that small movements can cause dislocations in people with hypermobility EDS, small movements can cause organs and blood vessels to rupture spontaneously in people with the vascular form of this disease. France-Valérie Roy, who we just heard in that clip, is a single mother of two boys who lives in Quebec City. She was diagnosed with vascular EDS several years ago. And Susan, like some of the stories we heard yesterday, France-Valérie Roy has also been through extreme chronic and debilitating pain, which forced her to stop working for 4 years. She says it's been tough financially and physically, and even more difficult to come to terms with the implications of her disease.
You know, when I got the diagnosis, my kids were 7 and 9, and my biggest fear was dying while they were still little kids. Now they're getting older, and I want them, you know, my main goal is to give them a good education and so they become good people, even if someday I'm not there for them. I made my will, and I'm trying to pay the house as fast as I can so they have a value, because I can't take any more life insurance because of my condition. So I'm hoping it's going to be enough for them. And every beginning of school year, I meet the teachers and I organize the plans if there's ever something that happens so they can have adequate care. And that's about it.
France-Valérie Roy says for a long time she also struggled with not feeling like she could be a good mother, because there was a time when she couldn't cook, and even now she can't play with her kids the way she'd like to. She says her chronic pain was also difficult because it made her really grumpy all the time.
How difficult was it for her to get a diagnosis?
For years, she struggled with the symptoms and had no answers. Doctor after doctor, but always more questions. You'll remember yesterday the story of Catherine Sones, who spent 10 years in and out of hospitals before she got a diagnosis. Her father, Robert, estimates the family has seen more than 200 doctors since their ordeal began. And Susan, I've heard similar stories from others with EDS. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome just doesn't seem to be on most doctors' radars. The irony in all of this, Susan, is that France-Valérie Roy is herself a doctor. Still, it took her years of searching and having her blood sent away to be tested in several other countries before a vascular surgeon finally diagnosed her with vascular EDS. But Dr. France-Valérie Roy says getting that diagnosis didn't make things any easier.
Well, initially it wasn't a good experience at all. Just the way I got the diagnosis, he told me. And I think the fact that I was a physician didn't help because, you know, I kind of figured, well, she knows about it and I don't have to explain anything. And, you know, and I'm not even talking about supporting me, just, you know, explaining. So he just kind of swung the diagnosis at the emergency room. And I didn't know there was a vascular part of EDS. So when I got out of the hospital, I looked up and I freaked out. I just basically discovered by myself what it meant.
And of course, what it meant is that now she has a potentially fatal disease. And Dr. Hua says she was left with her own devices once she got her diagnosis. She says she started frantically researching vascular EDS and describing being almost in a state of panic because she was reading the statistics of mortality, which aren't good. And Dr. Hua says she had no support from within the medical community at that time.
What generally happens once these people get their diagnosis of EDS?
Most of the people I've spoken with say initially there's a sense of elation because finally they can put a name to this thing and someone finally believes them. But they soon realize there are few doctors willing to try and treat them. France-Valérie Roy, who, as I mentioned, is a doctor and has access to the medical community, says it wasn't much different for her.
I think being a doctor and seeing other doctors who don't know about that disease, you sound like the doctor who wants to be better. Some doctors are okay. You can challenge them with something they don't know, and they're going to be okay and they're going to do research. But some doctors, you know, especially if they're specialists and you're just a family physician, you know, for them, if they don't know about it, doesn't exist. I felt like I was dismissed. And sometimes I felt also that, you know, since they didn't know what to do, well, it's kind of, well, you're a doctor. Do, you know, take care of it. I ended up, when I got sick, I'm the one who referred myself to the readaptation center because, you know, they were kind of, you know, passing on the next doctor who they hope would know more than they did, but they didn't. So, you know, it's like of a chain and you get passed on from a place to another place and then nobody does anything.
Dr. Roy says she's not surprised that most of the doctors she'd seen had never heard of EDS because she herself had never heard of it before she found out that she has it. Still, she says she was surprised by how close some of the doctors have been.
It literally was physician heal thyself by the sounds of it. And people will be surprised to hear that a doctor is on the receiving end of that same kind of treatment a lot of patients talk about. If someone can find a doctor to treat them, what can actually be done for EDS?
The people I've spoken with say sometimes surgery or physiotherapy are options to help alleviate some of the symptoms, but there is no cure, and the options are limited. There is one woman here in Sherbrooke who's trying to change that. Gail Ouellette is a genetic counselor and the director of the Quebec Coalition of Rare Diseases. And even though her organization represents 7,000 rare diseases, she's become kind of a go-to person for people with EDS in the province.
I saw the need and we created a page on EDS, and that's when I'd say in the last 2 years that now more and more individuals call us up. It's the disease for which the most people call us now. We're now up to 2-3 people who call a week. Most of them are undiagnosed. Most of them, they call to say, well, I read this, I speak with people, it looks like I have this, so is it possible? And then I discuss their signs and symptoms, and most often it really does look like EDS, and I refer them to a genetic service for diagnosis.
Gail Ouellette says she's in contact with about 50 people across the province who have a diagnosis of EDS, and she says she regularly gets extremely frustrated because there's so little help available here in Canada. Gail spends a lot of her time finding specialists in other countries who are researching EDS and giving patients information that way.
What does she think needs to happen for the situation to improve?
Well, Gail has been organizing workshops with geneticists in Montreal in the hopes that they'll find a better way to diagnose the disease. She even brought one Montreal geneticist to an EDS conference in Ontario earlier this year in the hopes that some kind of best practices guidelines will be established to diagnose and follow the disease. Eventually, Ouellette would like to see a group of medical practitioners, different specialists and physiotherapists who could become sort of the experts about EDS and even form a kind of multidisciplinary clinic where people with EDS could go. She's also trying to create a network to put people with EDS in touch with each other for support and information. And Dr. France-Valérie Roy says one thing she thinks could help is for medical students to have at least one course during their training dedicated to rare diseases so that they know to be on the lookout for them. And Susan, I just want to point out that for Dr. Roy, it's more than just a personal battle. Remember, she's a single mother of two, and both of her sons have been showing signs of hypermobility EDS, and she's making sure that they're being followed closely in case they might have the vascular form as well. It's really become a fight for her whole family.
What a story. Allison, thank you.
My pleasure, Susan.
Allison Burnett is our reporter in the Eastern Townships. We've been speaking over the last couple of days about a rare disease called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I mentioned earlier, today is actually International Rare Disease Day, and there will be groups in countries all over the world holding activities today to raise awareness.